We shouldn't have to say, well, I just can't wait till we get to heaven so I can start enjoying this eternal life. God wants us to begin enjoying that eternal life now, present at the moment.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to this edition of The Tide. I'm Dave Dino, and I'm really glad you're here. Now, for several weeks now, we have taken an in-depth look at the book of 1 John, both the content of his letter and his reasons for writing it. As Pastor Dwayne Potiker concludes his series of messages today, he'll explain how we can know beyond the shadow of all doubt that we are, in fact, children of God. Today's message is straight ahead, but first, let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, John talks about the seven signs of salvation in the first two chapters of his letter. Why do you think he reemphasizes the point here?
Dave, I think he wants believers to be beyond any doubt, which is why I titled the message today, To Know That You Know. He understands our humanness. Not only do we have a tendency to doubt, but he's also aware that our great enemy, Satan, comes back and stirs up the questions in our mind. So we have to review the truth. John comes back and both reminds and reemphasizes that truth for us. It is through the reviewing of the truth that we actually are convinced of its reality.
You know, I've talked to several Christians who have doubted their faith. And obviously, John's audience had similar struggles. Why do you think so many people lack the assurance of their own salvation?
I think perhaps the greatest reason for doubt is because we stand on our feelings and emotions or circumstances that are happening around us versus the truth of God's Word, which we have to take by faith. And sometimes, well, let me say this, it is often much harder to take God's word by faith to overcome our feelings and emotions.
If you have ever doubted your faith, if you know someone who has, then stay with us for the next few minutes to learn how to gain the assurance we all need. Here's Dwayne with his message, To Know That You Know.
Well, today we're going to look at the last chapter of 1 John. It's chapter 5. And it's a very short book, but here again, John writes to make it clear what it means to be saved and to have eternal life. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. And I've titled today's message, To Know That You Know. Because when you read John chapter 5, you'll see that that word keeps coming up. No, I want you to know. I write this so you know, so that you might know. I want you to know. Are you getting the idea he wants us to know? That's his point. He doesn't want us to have a hope-so, maybe-so, think-so salvation. He wants us to have a know-so experience with God. Well, first of all, as we look at this, I want you to notice with me verse 1. Now, the way we're going to go through this chapter is I'm going to lift out verses for our consideration. And in this concept of knowing that you know, the first thing I want you to know is that he says, you are changed by what you believe. Look what he says in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now I have to remind you here, and this word believe, everyone who believes, he's not talking about someone who simply has knowledge. He's not talking about somebody who has intellectual consent to the truths. He says a person who believes to the extent that it changes their lifestyle, you live differently based on what you know, then that person is the one who is born of God. Believing is faith and it's trust. Faith in the finished work of Christ, trusting that it applies to you. And you believe so much that Jesus did die on the cross for you, that you're willing to repent, to turn from your sin, to confess your sin, to have your lifestyle changed because of what you believe. That's what he's talking about. It's not just what you know, it's what you do with what you know that really matters. The second thing about knowing that you know I see here is in in verses 2 through 3. It's that you love God and you are obedient to His Word, the Bible. That's how you can know. You love God and you're obedient. Look with me at verses 2 through 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commandments. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome, or not a burden. So we can know that we know when we know that we love God and we are obedient to His Word. Now, if we think we are saved and we don't love God and we're not being obedient, we are deceived. Those two don't go together. A third insight from John. It is, you can know that you know when you are in reality in your personal life overcoming the world. You're overcoming temptation. You're overcoming sin. Look what he says in verses 4 through 5. Verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now he's talking about a literal victory over temptation and sin. He's not talking about somebody who went to an altar of prayer and then went back and continues to live in a life of sin. No, he is suggesting that if we are truly saved, sin stops. We break it off. We go through a radical surgery at a time when we come to Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that we are perfected. I'm not suggesting that we don't blow it and make mistakes. Please understand that. But there is a point in which we are done with sin. We don't continue to carry it along and say, well, I just have a weakness. I just have a problem. You see, when we go there, we're making excuses to do what we want. We're not willing to make a clean cut from sin and really walk with Christ. But he's saying that when you come to know Christ and you are truly saved, there is a finish with sin. You overcome the world, temptation and sin. Worldly philosophies, worldly allowance, worldly tolerance. A fourth thing that John wants us to know is that you have received the gift of eternal life through Christ. It's in verses 11 and 12. Look what he says. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. But he says there in verse 11, this is the testimony. God has given who? Us. What has He given us? Eternal life. You see, eternal life, if it's eternal, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to begin enjoying it and celebrating it. Amen? We shouldn't have to say, well, I just can't wait till we get to heaven so I can start enjoying this eternal life. God wants us to begin enjoying that eternal life now, present, at the moment. Eternal life and salvation doesn't fall into your life. You need to respond so you can receive Christ, so you can get saved. And then you need to walk in obedience to God's Word. You need to be sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But eternal life begins at the moment you receive Christ. Receive God's free gift and let the celebration begin. Well, I want to pose a question for you to answer internally this morning. Have you ever completely and confidently placed all that you are and all that you hope to be in God's hands? You see, for me to share this series and to finish with this concept of knowing that you know, but never really bring you that point of decision to know that you know, I failed. And so I want you to reflect and evaluate, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved today? Not on anything that you have done, but on the gift and the merits of Jesus Christ. That you know you've come to Him in humility and repentance. And you've said, Lord, I've blown it. I've sinned against You. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against others. and I need your forgiveness. I want you not only to come into my life and forgive me, I want you to change me, that I might be changed. You know, the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. Well, I want to finish up here this morning in this book, and I want to look at note and notice that John's purpose for writing this letter, it's very, very clear. First of all, he wants us to know, he's writing so that we know that we have eternal life. Look with me at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Look what he says. So that you may know that you have eternal life. He has the compassion and the heart of a spiritual grandfather looking back at the new believers and the churches that he's visited and written to. And he said, I want you to know it. I want you to be sure of it. When John Owen, the great Puritan, lay on his deathbed, the secretary was instructed to write a short letter for him to a friend. And here's what he said in his letter. It's just a phrase. He said, I am still in the land of the living. And then he said, no, stop that. He was quoting to a person who was writing. He said, stop that. He said, change that and say, I am yet in the land of the dying, but I hope soon to be in the land of the living. You see, when you have received Christ and you have the hope of eternity in you, death is only a doorway to eternity with God. I'm not sure quite how it's going to happen, and that might sometimes be a little scary. But I'm not afraid of where I'm going when I pass through that threshold. I know I'll be with the Lord. You can have that no-so, sure-so, confident salvation. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Hopefully that's where you are today. John's purpose for writing the letter, secondly, is so that we will pray with confidence to God. Look at verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Our confidence when we pray is that He hears us. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? Do you sometimes struggle? Do you wonder if He's listening? Am I the only one? I sometimes wonder if God's really listening to me. Maybe I have to pray louder. You remember like the prophets of Baal did on that day on Mount Carmel? It was one of those mountains. But he was mocking them. Pray louder! Maybe he's in the Living Bible, it says, maybe he's on a vacation. And they're out there shouting to him, you know, hear us, O Baal, hear us! And they're cutting themselves with knives. And sometimes I wonder, what do I have to do to get God's attention? But John is reminding us that God hears us when we pray. Dodie Grandient, a school teacher for 13 years, decided to travel across America to see the sites she had taught about for all those years. She traveled alone in a truck, pulling a camper behind her. One afternoon near Sacramento, California, during rush hour, the water pump on her truck went out. And she was scared, she was alone, and there was no one seemed to help her on the busy freeway. And so in desperation, as she was outside her vehicle, she leaned up against the trailer and she prayed, please God, send me an angel, preferably one that has mechanical experience. This is the story. Within 4 minutes, a huge Harley drove up, ridden by an enormous man with long black hair and beard and tattoos on his arms. With confidence, he got off his Harley and he went to work without even looking at Dottie. He flagged down a large truck, attached a chain, and towed the truck and the trailer up off the freeway onto a side street, and then continued working on the water pump. The school teacher literally didn't know what to say. She was too intimidated, especially when she read the words on the back of his leather jacket that said, Hell's Angels, California. As she finished the job, she finally got the courage to say, "Thanks so much." And then they went into a brief conversation. You know, God answers our prayer in strange ways sometimes. But I think she was convinced that He was, in fact, an answer to prayer. Can you think of a prayer in your life that God has recently answered? John's purpose for writing part of this, he wants us to know that we have salvation, but he wants us to know that when we pray, God hears us, and we can pray with confidence. As a matter of fact, in his gospel, he says, if we pray anything in Jesus' name, we have the confidence that he hears us and he will do what we ask for. Sometimes we just don't see it. We're not looking for it. Or sometimes we ask amiss and we don't get what we ask for because God's protecting us from getting what we ask for. Well, pray with confidence, friends. Don't give up. Know that God hears you. A third reason for John writing this letter is that so that we will overcome temptation and sin. Look at verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. There it is again. That concept of overcoming temptation and sin. John says if you have experienced salvation, you shouldn't be living or walking in sin. Jose Cubero was only 21 years old and was having a spectacular career as a matador in Spain. I mean, people would flock to the Colosseums to watch him do bullfighting. In a bullfight in 1985, he made a huge mistake. As he was fighting the bull, and you know, if you've ever been part of those bullfights, and we never have gone to one, we've seen the huge stadiums there in Mexico as we drove through into Tijuana and through that part of Mexico, we saw the huge stadiums, and we never were able to get down and go to one. But you know, they tease the bull for a period of time, and then after a period of time, when the bull comes by, they'll stab it with spears and knives. And eventually, the bull was weakened. And as the bull came by, Jose thrust a sword into the bleeding, delirious bull, which then collapsed. Considering the battle finished, Jose turned toward the crowd to acknowledge their applause. The bull, however, was not dead. It rose, and unknown to him, it lunged unsuspecting at the matador, and its horn piercing his back punctured his heart. His last words as he was laying there on the ground he said, "This bull has killed me." And I wonder how many times when we are teasing or toying with sin, we try to kill it with that knife and we try to get rid of it and we think we've succeeded and it's fallen down and we turn our back and say, I've done it. Only to find it comes up behind us to stab us again right in the heart. A fourth reason that John is writing to us in this passage is so that we will be spiritually encouraged. That we will be spiritually encouraged. Verse 19. Look what he says. We know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We can be spiritually encouraged. A fifth thing that he wants us to know. He's writing so that we will have an understanding of the truth. Look with me at verse 20. Again, he's saying, we know. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Now, when I read that, I had to stop and consider that. I looked at it again. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. And I began to realize that unless the Holy Spirit would come to us and give us understanding of my spiritual condition, of my need of a Savior, I would never, never be saved. That is a reason to rejoice. It is the mercy of God. It is the lavish love of God that John talks about. God brings a revelation to us through His Holy Spirit. Many times He brings that through conviction. He brings it through an ugly, uncomfortable feeling. When we hear truth or when we're confronted with decisions, we have this revelation of right and wrong. Where does that come from? If I am born in sin, if I am born in darkness, if I naturally sin and don't naturally do right, where does that revelation come from? God. And the continual revelation of truth that guides me into new truth and opens His Word to me is a continual revelation of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who gives me understanding. I should rejoice in that. John wants us to know that so that if we were struggling in our spiritual growth and maturity, if we're not learning, we should then say, God, would you please, would you increase my understanding? Would you reveal truth to me? Would you open your Word? God, I'm like a brick. I'm as dense as a stone. Open my understanding. Open my eyes to see that I can understand your truth. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Well, I have several questions there for your consideration. Do you know that you know where you stand with God? Do you know what you need to do to be closer to God? And what will you do about and with what you know? I could stand and preach till you fall asleep and till I fall down. But you're responsible to do something about what you know. Margaret Fuller said, if you have knowledge, let others light their candles by it. See, not only is it important for us to have that knowledge, but we should be sharing that knowledge with others.
God not only wants us to know Him, He wants us to know that we know Him. How else can we boldly share our faith with others? Now, let's join our director, Don Schenk, who's in studio with Dwayne for some final thoughts.
Dwayne, picking up on Dave's closing comment there, when I think of boldly sharing our faith with others, my mind goes back to the disciples at Pentecost who came out of a room where they'd been praying and just boldly spoke freely. And there was a change in them. They, from people who we sometimes see as being timid or withdrawn, actually in a room praying. What happened there? How were they transformed from perhaps a position of some doubt and questioning to just standing up and preaching what they believed?
Well, obviously, Scripture tells us that they were to wait in Jerusalem until they were empowered from on high. In other words, the Holy Spirit was going to come and give them that power. Jesus did not want to leave them comfortless. Even though they had seen Him personally, they had touched Him, He understood the importance of continuing to be in a relationship where they would know that they know. And I think that's something we need to be aware of now, that it is the present active power of the Holy Spirit with us that continues to witness the reality once we come to know Christ and experience salvation. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that continues to affirms and confirms the reality that we know Christ and we're in relationship with Him.
It is good, and we actually need to have that assurance of our salvation and to be able to know that we know. But it also brings to mind the fact that there are still so many people in this world who don't even know that they can know.
They don't even know there is a Jesus or that He came to die for them.
And, of course, that's one of our primary purposes here at The Tide, is to do as much as we can to change that by broadcasting the message of God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. And we're always looking for new opportunities to do that. This month marks a very special occasion for us as our plan to expand our ministry in Nepal becomes a reality. Up to this point, the only people we've been or we've had the potential to reach in Nepal are those who may speak Bengali, Hindi, or the Santali language, or a few that might speak any of the other three languages that we're currently broadcasting throughout India and that surrounding region. But between those three languages, we do have the potential to reach several million people in Nepal. But that still leaves over 19 million Nepali-speaking people who also need to hear the gospel. The population of Nepal is overwhelmingly Hindu. In fact, Nepal is the world's only official Hindu kingdom. Hinduism is so strong there that the king of Nepal is worshipped as the incarnation of a Hindu god. Now, although Hinduism is recognized as the national religion of Nepal, the government does allow a certain amount of religious freedom. People are free to choose their religion, but they're not allowed to attempt to convert anyone. At the present time, less than 2% of the population of Nepal is Christian. But the good news is that despite persecution and restrictions, Christianity is actually the fastest growing religion in Nepal. The people of Nepal are spiritually hungry. Many are more open to the gospel than they've ever been before. So during the past several months, our studio in India has been busy producing Christian programming in the Nepali language, and this month we actually begin airing those programs. 5 years ago, the World Bible Translation Center released their version of the New Testament in the Nepali language. Now they've almost finished their translation of the Old Testament to provide a complete Nepali Bible. Unfortunately, Nepal has a very low literacy rate, and this means that many will be unable to read the Bible, but they will be able to hear God's Word through our radio broadcasts.
Once again, I want to thank those of you who are partners with us in ministry, both through prayer and through financial support. We would not be able to make this ministry available to people around the world if it was not for individuals just like you who have a heart for the lost and a heart for the kingdom of God, to advance the gospel message so that others can hear. And may God richly bless you.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Radio is the greatest missionary the world has never seen. And it is a missionary whose presence is desperately needed in Nepal. If you would like to help us support our ministry in this remote Hindu kingdom, or to support the Tide right here on your local station, I invite you to call us today with a gift of any size. Call toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, today's program, To Know That You Know, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy on audio cassette or CD, call us and ask for program number 0440. Call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to the Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 1720. For information about the Tide, to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he lost the joy of his salvation more than once. If you ever feel that way, if you're feeling that way, join us for next week's message, Where's the Joy? Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning into The Tide, a ministry that is touching hearts on shores worldwide.